The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
On the line now is Bev MacArthur, MP for Western Victoria. Bev, good morning.
Good morning, Mitch.
Well, first of all, the Ring of Steel has come down as of today, and that's, of course, good news for the people down on the Surf Coast, but also some other good news for our state with the number of days in a row who have had no new cases of COVID-19.
Yes, it is good, Mitch. Yes, it is. I mean, all these restrictions should be lifted. Victoria's got to get back to normal and back to living and doing business.
So when you say all restrictions, what, visitation to people's homes, that should be more than two, you think?
I think the government's got to look at what's happening in other states and New South Wales, where actually there are more cases. But it's a matter of managing it. Are we suggesting that, or is the government suggesting to us, that they're incapable of managing the virus? Because it's going to be with us for who knows how long. Even if you have a vaccine, is that going to work? Who knows? So long as the hospital system is able to cope and we're able to treat people who get the virus if they're needing to have hospitalisation, then we're going to have to learn to live with it like so many other problems that we've got. And I think that the greatest damage that's being done to Victorians is the restriction on their freedoms and the restrictions on doing business and working. And we need to get people back into jobs, and we need to get businesses opening up. Those that are left that can open. I mean, so many will have just found it impossible to continue, and that's extraordinarily sad.
And in terms of masks, the Premier was under a bit of fire from the media yesterday. They were calling on him in the press conference to justify why masks were continuing. Would you get rid of masks altogether, or just indoor areas, or what would be the policy going forward?
Well, I think Victorians are very responsible human beings. It's about time that a Premier gave Victorians credit for being sensible and responsible. If you want to wear a mask, you should be able to wear a mask all the time. Nobody's stopping you. And many people used to wear masks way before this virus ever occurred, and good on them. And if you think you're in a vulnerable situation, then don't go into a crowded space or wear a mask. And those people who think that it is important that they protect others or themselves from whatever virus, including the common cold, will then wear a mask. It shouldn't be mandatory. It's not mandatory in New South Wales. It shouldn't be mandatory in Victoria.
And I read in some of your media statements that you've been commenting on gyms and some of the restrictions around their reopening. Are you satisfied now with the new arrangements that have come into force? I believe they're now open in both metropolitan Melbourne and down here in regional Victoria. Are you happy with that state of affairs now?
Well, I'm pleased that common sense has prevailed and that gyms are able to be open. There's still plenty of restrictions on them, and I think there's still restrictions on, you know, wearing masks in gyms. I mean, who ever heard of doing exercise and needing to be masked up? Gyms have known, like many other sporting venues and so on, that you have to be aware of health and safety regulations and you know, the sanitizer everywhere these days, and everybody knows to wash their hands continually, and they do that. They want to keep these premises healthy and clean, and people that go to gyms go not only to get physically fit but for their mental well-being, and that's been a huge cost to many people and had many side effects. So I'm very pleased that the government has listened to pleas from me and others that gyms should open, because I think it's a very important part of our health and well-being in Victoria.
Now, what did you make of the local government election results here in the city of Greater Geelong? Most of the councillors were returned bar one, but down on the Surf Coast and out in Golden Plains and even in the borough of Queenscliff, a bit of a shake-up.
Well, competition is great in these areas, and, you know, democracy has prevailed, I'm sure. But it does, I think, it has been difficult for people to campaign and under the COVID restrictions. And so in many places, incumbents have been returned and they have a higher profile. And no doubt people, maybe they thought they were doing a good job and they should be returned. So All in all, I think the local government elections were conducted well, and you know, we'll look forward to working with all 24 municipalities in my electorate over the next period.
What do you think the relationship is going to be like between the state government and the City of Greater Geelong? Because all of the councillors that voted in favour of changing the green spine, getting rid of one of those bike lanes, they've all been returned, and we know that the state government is taking control over that section of land. So there was clearly some friction between the state government and the council before, but now all of the councillors that were responsible for that have been returned.
Well, you know, this state government is very good at passing the buck. They are doing it in all sorts of areas. But in local government, the cost shifting they've embarked on to local government has been extreme. And, you know, if you have a democratically elected council and they make a decision about something, I don't think that, you know, in most cases, the government should be overturning it. You know, if the government want to control absolutely everything, well, then they pay for it and they take total responsibility. And maybe they should take total responsibility for all roads, for example, because, you know, this confusion about who's meant to manage roads all over the place, whether they're local government roads or state government roads. But, you know, state government should take note of the fact that those councillors got returned and they had a different position to the state government. So, you know, if you're going to abide by these elections and the democratically elected people, then they do have to take notice.
Now, the state budget is coming up on November the 24th. What are you looking out for in that budget? What does the state government need to do?
Well, it needs to prioritise projects and enabling infrastructure outside the tram tracks. They're very good at making sure, you know, all level crossings are removed in Melbourne. But, you know, what do they do outside the tram tracks? Not a lot. The roads are shocking, absolutely shocking. I had a logistics contractor the other day inform me that the roads in southwest Victoria, for example, were cost him 20% more in maintenance than anywhere else in Australia. I mean, this is shocking, adding greatly to the burden of getting our produce to market or export. So the government needs to look outside the tram tracks at what they should do. And obviously, the fast rail project to Melbourne is critical. The roads are critical. And I think what they need to do is provide the sort of enabling infrastructure so that we can get some very big tourist projects up and running that have massive private sector investment. They don't need government investment. They just need some enabling infrastructure, whether it might be water, for instance. And that would make a huge difference. I mean, they've racked up a whopping debt, and particularly, you know, you've seen an extraordinary waste of money in hotel quarantine. And now somebody's going to have to pay it back. But their project management is appalling. Everything, every one of these big projects is over time and over budget. And that's not good enough for Victorian taxpayers. So they need to work out how they can do things more efficiently and effectively and stop wasting our money.
Now, I see that there's talk about a new Animal Welfare Act, and you've raised this issue in Parliament. What is actually on the agenda and what is going to be changed under this?
Well, I think the government, you know, in its acquiescence, no doubt, to Mr. Medic, is looking to making animals sentient beings. Now, for those of you who may be not sure what this means, it means that all our animals have feelings just like humans. And so that would, you know, radically change how we operate agriculture and many other areas. Now, those of us who are involved with animals in a commercial sense and in a recreational sense care greatly for our animals. This is total overreach and totally unnecessary. But, you know, this is the path that this government goes down. Anything to kill private enterprise, industrial endeavour, you know, it does it.
And the Melbourne Cup, that's been criticised because of the number of deaths of horses over the years. I believe there's now been 7 horses that haven't made it to the end or have died as a result of the Melbourne Cup in the last 7 years. What changes should be made there, or how many deaths are we willing to tolerate for the Melbourne Cup?
Well, you know, I've had a lot to do with horses all my life, and horses are prone to break their legs. And, you know, I've had a horse come up for its feed in the morning and just there without a rider on it, nothing to untoward, just broke its leg as it was coming to get its feed. This happens with horses, I think, in the racing world. No owner or trainer wants to deliberately incur injury to an animal. They're worth a lot of money. They're not worth a lot of money if they're deceased. So I'm sure they do take every precaution to make sure that they're not in any way under stress or strain to complete a race. But if there's more scanning or veterinary attention, and they're well checked before a race, every animal is checked to see that it's fit to race by veterinary surgeons prior to racing. But if there's more can be done, great. And, you know, we're extraordinarily sorry for the seven horses in 7 years that have lost their lives. I hope that as much attention is paid to some of the animals I see in suburban backyards, which are very poorly treated. You know, that's where a lot of cruelty is occurring.
I see a lot of activists are still out with the Nup to the Cup message, which has been running for a few years. Of course, in years gone by, there's been more in person, whereas this year with COVID, it's changed things around a bit. But do you think their message will ultimately prevail and we will see Melbourne Cup starting to be wound back?
No.
All right. Thanks for being on the program. Good to speak with you as always, and we'll talk to you again for the final time in 2020 next month.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Good on you. Thank you, Beverly MacArthur, joining us there, State MP for Western Victoria.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.